I'm going to encourage you this afternoon to open your Bibles to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, we're going to study our way through this psalm in our service this afternoon. We're going to look at other passages along the way, but you may find it convenient to place a marker here in Psalm 55 as we'll be returning and studying our way down through this passage. In our Wednesday afternoon Bible study, we have been going through 1 and 2 Samuel, studying our way through these books. And we've noticed as we've gone along that in the early part of the book, well, 1 Samuel in its entirety, and going into 2 Samuel, you see David on the increase. His popularity is growing, his favor with God is increasing, and we see that he takes the throne as the king in a rightful manner, and he reigns as the greatest military leader in Israel's history. He establishes the nation. Its boundaries are enlarged and reinforced. Its cities are built up. And David was indeed a very good and a very prosperous king. But as Bible students know, he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, which was accompanied by murder, murdering Uriah the Hittite. And from that moment on, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, chapter 13, in that area, David goes on the decline. And in his life, he begins to suffer the consequences of his sin. This psalm is written concerning an event that had to be one of the lowest points in David's life. And that is the situation in which his son, Absalom, rebelled against him and tried to overthrow him as king. And of course we know that that rebellion resulted in the death of his son Absalom, in which David grieved very publicly, very loudly over that. And what should have been a day of victory for David and for Israel turned into a day of mourning and a day of uncomforting sorrow. He was unable to be comforted in the sorrow he felt for his son, Absalom. But as with all of the Psalms and all the Scriptures, there is an application to our lives today. We're going to look at this Psalm, Psalm 55, from the vantage point of what to do when we are betrayed by a friend. When we make friends with someone, we open up our heart to that person. And any time we open up our heart to an individual, we make ourselves vulnerable to them. And it is indeed an act of treachery and an act of betrayal to take advantage of that vulnerability and injure someone who has lowered their guard against us. What is a child of God to do when he feels that he's facing a trial that he cannot overcome? What do we do when we discover that people have plotted against us or that people have even betrayed us? This psalm is the outcry of a man of God who is facing this type of a situation. The occasion and the historical background of this psalm is the events of 2 Samuel chapter 15. We've already mentioned the fact that David's son Absalom is rebelling against him. But what Absalom did very craftily, very wisely, he went through Jerusalem, he went through Israel, and he tried to make himself look popular before the people. And he tried to win over their confidence, and in a very strategic move, he decided to separate himself from David and then to take the throne away from his father, David. And in building these alliances and building up these people who would follow after him, Absalom was able to persuade Ahithophel, who was David's longtime counselor and friend, to join him in this rebellion against his father, David. David got word of this rebellion. What happened is Absalom left Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem with a lot of men going out with him. And then he blew the trumpet and he sent out word throughout all Israel that the rebellion was on. And word got back to David, and David knew that he had to flee. And he'd done this before. He'd been on the run from King Saul before, but now he had to do it a little bit older. But he found that he had his same friends who were with him. The men who were with him as he fled from King Saul were also at his side as he was fleeing from his son. And there are others who tried to join him, who would join him or would try to join him. I battled my voice this morning and won. I don't know if I'll win this afternoon, but we're going to give it our best effort. David fled, but it was as he was fleeing, and I wanted to look at 2 Samuel chapter 15. There are a couple of verses here that will help us to set the stage historically so we can take it back to Psalm 55 and perhaps have a better appreciation of what David's going through as he writes the words to this psalm. But in 2 Samuel chapter 15 at verse 30, it says, "So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives." Let's pause right there. Mount of Olives, does that sound familiar to you? It should sound familiar to us as Bible students when we look at the life of Jesus and we look at him especially on the night that he was betrayed. He went up to the Mount of Olives. Here it says, "David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up." So here's the scene. Here David is leaving, but he's weeping as he goes. He's taking his shoes off his feet. He's covered up his head. He's not in a royal procession. He is mourning as he goes. He is weeping and he is mourning. And it's here in this state, in this condition, in this place, that he learns of his friend's betrayal. Verse 31, "Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So here he is, he's already weeping. He has to deal emotionally with what his son is doing. He is leaving his throne. He is leaving his city. He is weeping as he goes, and then now he feels the dagger that is stuck in his back by his friend, learning that Ahithophel has betrayed him and has conspired against him. It is in this setting that David writes the 55th Psalm. And as we look at this psalm, there are some areas of application that we need to make as we're going to be studying through this psalm. Of course, first off, we're going to see it in its historical setting. That is, it addresses the immediate betrayal of Ahithophel. As we go through, we're going to see David in his emotion. And one of the things I've enjoyed as we in this afternoon class have been going through the study of 1 and 2 Samuel and looking primarily at the life of David and things that he went through, is at times we are sent to the psalms. And we read the psalms that were written by David during specific events in his life. And in 1 and 2 Samuel, we get the facts. You know, like Dragnet, just the facts, right? But then when you go to the psalms, you get the emotion that backs it up. Now, these were real events. It happened to a real man, and he hurt. And he talks about his hurt and talks about his pain. So as we're going down through this psalm, we're going to look first at how it applied to David and what David was feeling as he was dealing with this betrayal from a friend. But also, we've already mentioned the Mount of Olives, already mentioned a connection with Jesus Christ. This psalm, I believe, is a messianic psalm, in that not only does it have the immediate application to David and the betrayal of his friend, Ahithophel, but also there is the application to Jesus when he's betrayed by Judas. And we'll stop and we'll take a look at that when we come to those verses. But I believe it is messianic, and I believe that there is application to what Jesus felt with the betrayal of Judas. And then, as always, we need to make personal application as we can. We're going to go through and we're going to look at a man who is suffering from things that you and I have had to suffer in our life, or will have to suffer in our life. Maybe not to the extent, certainly not to the extent that our Lord did, and maybe not to the extent that David did, but we've all lost friends. We've all been betrayed. We've all made ourselves vulnerable to others and had them hurt us with our guard down. We've all felt what David's going through. What do we do? Well, the psalm's going to help us. If we make application of the psalm to our lives, we can get the help that we need as we make it through these times of sorrow. So let's turn our attention now to the psalm and see what lessons we can learn from it. I've divided the psalm up into five different sections. We're going to take it a section at a time, And we're going to look at how David is reacting to the news of this betrayal. Number one, there is an appeal that comes from David's heart. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. David begins this psalm by calling out to God for God to hear him. His natural response to what's happening to him is to pray unto God, and that would be our natural reaction as well, to pray. But notice he does more than just send his thoughts heavenward. David desires an audience with God. Read verse 1 again. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. He wants an audience with God. He wants God to give attention to what he is saying. He wants God to hear what he has to say. He wants his divine attention as he mourns and is in sorrow. Soon his complaints turn into noise. In verse 2, I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. At times the sorrows of our heart are so overwhelming that we don't know what to say. Have you ever been there before? You're going through so much pain, so much sorrow, it has either hit you at once or there's so much that's been piled upon you, you don't know what to make of it. You don't even know where to begin. You just moan noisily. You know, the Bible addresses that. The Bible addresses you and I being in that kind of a state when we pray unto God. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times when we feel overwhelmed and we go to God in prayer and we really don't know what to say. Well, David was there here in Psalm 55, and we're there at times. The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us in that time and takes the thoughts of our wounded heart that we can't find expression for. The Holy Spirit takes those thoughts and expresses those thoughts unto God. Verse 3 talks about the voice of the enemy. Oftentimes the words of an enemy or an opponent will cause more harm than any physical blow possibly can. That's why we need to be very careful with our own words. We need to be very careful with the things that we say when we're in emotional states, when we're angry, when we're hurting. We need to be very careful with what we say. Verse 3 also says, David says, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me. The King James Version says, they cast iniquity upon me. That's the way David felt. David felt as if this trouble had just been dumped upon him. Now, understand that the Hebrew that is used here, in the Hebrew language, this term was used to refer to the practice of an enemy waylaying their opponent on a mountain road by rolling huge rocks down upon them to injure them. They would stay up on a cliff and they would watch, and when their enemy got down below them, they would push the rocks down and ambush them in that way. I understand that Interstate 75, just right at the Tennessee-Kentucky line, but down in Tennessee, that there's been a rock slide and the interstate is closed. Now, you can go southbound, but the northbound lane is closed. And Paige and her friend, where they were coming home last week, they had to detour around that. Cliff and Brenda White had to do the same thing this past week. So there's that avalanche. There's those rocks that have fallen down on the road. That's where this term comes from in the Hebrew language. David feels as if he's been ambushed. He was walking up the Mount of Olives. He was mourning his son's rebellion. And then out of nowhere, he got news that his good friend is a part of the conspiracy. Just sideswiped him. That's the way he feels. Have you ever felt that way? I think we all have. I think we've all gotten news like that that just came out of nowhere and knocked us flat. That's exactly how David feels here. So he is making his appeal unto God. He's been He's been attacked, he's been injured, and he's crying out to God for help. Not only does he make an appeal, but in this appeal he expresses the anguish of his soul. Look at verses 4 through 8. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. David is fleeing for his life, but he knows that he also has to deal with the reality of the rebellion of his son, and that if this rebellion is ever going to be put down, it's most likely going to result in the death of his son. And that's the last thing that he wants. And so he's on the run. And as long as he's running, his son is alive. And look at the predicament that David finds himself in. His situation is so grave that his heart is aching within him. He's fearing for his life. Horror has overwhelmed him. You know, Jesus felt the same way. The night that he was betrayed up on the Mount of Olives, they left the upper room, they went up to the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus separated Peter, James, and John with him and went a little further on into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he expressed his sorrow to them. Matthew 26, verses 37 and 38. Matthew chapter 26, verses 37 and 38. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. See, David felt this sorrow. He expresses it in Psalm 55. Jesus felt sorrow. He expressed it to his close friends, Peter, James, and John. Now we come back to Psalm 55 and look at verses 6 through 8. So I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander afar off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. You ever want to get away? And I don't mean like these Southwest commercials where you want to get away. I mean, have you ever been where David is? And the pain is more than you think you can bear. And you simply want to get away. You wish you had wings and you could just fly away where no one could touch you. You wish you could just tunnel away. You wish you could just get away. You're not the first person who ever felt that way, because David felt that way too. If only I could just get away from this problem. If only I could fly away from it. Sometimes it's good to get away from things momentarily. Jesus often withdrew from the crowds to pray, to be alone. But Jesus didn't run away from his problems. Remember, when Judas came to him, he went out to meet him. He didn't run away from his problems, and we can't either. God does not allow us to run from our troubles. Instead, what God does, God gives us the strength that we need to make it through our troubles. You know, the only way to make it through problems is to go through. It's a sad fact, and it's one that many of us perhaps don't like, but the only way we can get through our problems, get through our troubles, is to get through them. We have to face them, and we have to go through. And God has equipped us to enable us to get through those problems. Now, when it comes to temptation, God provides a way of escape. Now, we can escape temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But when it comes to trials that we have to face, God doesn't allow us to escape. Instead, he equips us to be able to stand. The armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's only natural for us to want to fly away and want to get away. But the reality is, we've got to stand. We've got to stand, and we've got to face the problem. We've got to face the pain, and we've got to work our way through it. So David, he reveals the anguish of his soul. He's not It's not some small thing that he's going through. His soul is in anguish over what's happening. His desire, his initial desire is to just make it all go away and get away. But he can't do that. Next, he talks about the atrocities that he has experienced, that he has seen. Look at verse 9. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. David says what he wants God to do to his enemies. He wants God to turn their intended violence back upon them, to divide their tongues. And this reminds us of what God did during the time of the Tower of Babel. God divided their tongues, that is, confused their languages, and they were no longer united, but they went their separate ways. And here people are conspiring against him. And divide them, God. Divide their tongues so that they'll go their separate ways. They'll no longer be united against me. David has seen the violence and the strife that the plot has brought to his beloved city. Absalom has apparently turned Jerusalem into a den of evil and wickedness and deceit and sorrow. Remember that it was during this time that Absalom came back into the city. David had left with his family, but he had left behind some of his concubines to occupy the palace. And Absalom set up a tent on top of the king's palace, and he went into his father's concubines. And he shamed his father, and in fact shamed himself in doing that, by going in and openly before the entire city committing that act lowered everyone's standards. There's violence, there's sin, there's deceit all over the city of what his rebellious son Absalom had done to the beloved city of Israel. And David is mourning over the atrocity of what his son has done. There he is on the Mount of Olives, and he has to look down upon that city and know the state that they are in. You and I have been there before. Not on the Mount of Olives looking down upon the city, but you and I have been in situations where we were helpless to watch a loved one suffer, haven't we? We knew they were suffering, and all we could do was watch. Powerless to do anything about it. That's the way David feels. Having to watch his beloved city go through this, and he's powerless to do anything about it. But then the pain gets even more real and even more personal. Verses 12 through 14. For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Here David expresses the pain of the treachery and the betrayal that came from Ahithophel. It was not an open, obvious enemy who had struck David. He says, then I could have defended myself. I could have seen that coming and I could have defended myself. He could have mentally prepared for it. But it was you, David says. It was you. This man was his guide. It was one that he treated as an equal. It was a close, familiar friend, the New American Standard Version says. It was you, my close, familiar friend. None are such real enemies as false friends. Their reproaches cut to the soul. They are the ones to whom we've opened ourselves and made ourselves the most vulnerable. They know where to hit us, where it hurts the most. And that's exactly what's happened to David here. Now, of course, while this passage expresses the sorrow of David's pain over the betrayal of his friend Ahithophel, it obviously foreshadows Judas betraying the Lord, doesn't it? You go back just a page or two in the Psalms to Psalm 41. The 41st Psalm, and at verse 9. Psalm 41, and at verse 9. Here's another psalm of David that foreshadows Judas's betrayal. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Here's the closeness of this bond. My own familiar friend, someone that I trusted, we ate bread together. Psalm 55 says, we went to the house of God together. We were in fellowship with one another. Well, look at that image there, my close familiar friend with whom I have eaten bread. In John chapter 13, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus announces the fact that he's going to be betrayed, John chapter 13 and at verse 18, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus quotes Psalm 41 and makes the application to Judas. We see it clearly with Psalm 41, but I believe we can also see it with Psalm 55, can't we? My close, familiar friend. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 47, when Judas leads the mob out to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus, Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 50, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus. Took him. My own familiar friend, my close companion, friend, why have you come? So in this passage in Psalm 55, we see the foreshadowing of the betrayal, the treachery that our Lord would feel because of Judas. Now going back to Psalm 55, verse 15, David says, let death seize them, let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. Here David cries for justice. David wants the treason and the betrayal to be dealt with in the appropriate manner. They needed to die for their wickedness, for their rebellion. And that's exactly what happened. There's another connection between what David experienced with the treachery and betrayal of Ahithophel and what Jesus experienced with the betrayal of Judas. Ahithophel eventually hanged himself. He realized that Absalom was going to lose. He realized that he had chosen the wrong side, and he knew he would not survive when David began to recompense judgment. And he went and put his house in order, and he hanged himself. What did Judas do the morning after he betrayed the Lord? He went and hanged himself. There are a lot of connections between these two specific events. Next, as we continue on with this psalm, verses 16 through 21, we see that David took action. But it's interesting, the action that he took. David didn't take matters into his own hands. Instead, he took them to God. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. David didn't take matters into his own hands. He took them to God and let God, trusted in God to save him. Brother Fitro a few moments ago read for us from Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, in which we are not to take vengeance ourselves, but rather we are to trust in God, and we're to allow God to seek vengeance. We sang some good songs before our study this afternoon. There was a theme to them, and they fit very well with what we're studying about here. In His time, in God's time, all these things will be made right. People hurt us, people misuse us, people afflict us, and we're upset, and in that moment of being upset and in that emotional state, we want justice, and we want it right now. But brethren, we're good enough Bible students to know that that's not wise. We know the Bible well enough to know that God takes care of things like this in His own time. And David showed that kind of faith. I'll cry out to God and God will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I'll pray, I'll cry aloud, he shall hear my voice. Look at the assurance of his trust and his faith in God. In verse 18, he speaks about a future event as if it's already happened. He says, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Well, the battle is still going on. It's just gotten started there in 2 Samuel chapter 15. But David has such confidence in God, he's redeemed me. He's redeemed me. So when he prays unto God, he prays with that confidence. David further describes the deceitful nature of his betrayer in verses 20 and 21. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He's broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Again, here's the treachery. Here's a man I trusted, but I mistrusted him. He broke his covenant with me. We had a friendship. We had a bond. There was that covenant, that understanding. And he broke that covenant. His words were smoother than butter, but there was war in his words. He didn't mean what he said. He meant to do me harm. So again, expressing that anguish over his betrayer. And then finally, verses 22 and 23, there's the admonition that David gave. You remember, when you back up to verse 6, David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away and I'd be at rest. And we said then, you know, how many of us have felt like that at some time in our life? We just want to get away. We don't know how to deal with this. The problem's overwhelming, and we just want to get away. What do we do in times like that? Because it happens to us. What do we do in times like that? Psalm 55, verse 22 gives us the answer. Here's what we do. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. When we feel like doing that, when we feel like getting away, we don't go and buy airline tickets to go somewhere. We don't run away. We don't hide from our problems. We don't ignore our problems. We cast our problems upon the Lord, and we allow him to sustain us. That's exactly what David's doing here. Verse 1, go back again to verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me, hear me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I moan noisily. Again, in verses 16 through 19, as we just saw, I call upon God. I'm going to pray unto God. I cast my burdens upon the Lord. In 1 Peter, at chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's what we're to do with our troubles. That's what we're to do with our sorrows. Cast them upon the Lord. Get rid of them and cast them upon the Lord. That's exactly what David did. That's exactly what the Lord did as well, as he went and he prayed unto the Father three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the promise is that he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. We've had high winds this past week, and I think the forecast calls for one more day in the week that is coming. And you look at those high winds, and you see the branches of the trees shake back and forth, and sometimes those branches fall off. Sometimes signs blow away, and shingles get blown off of houses, but eventually the storm passes, and what's happened to that tree? Well, it's been shaken, but it hadn't been moved. It hadn't been moved because it has been rooted in the ground. And that's exactly what God will do for us if we let him. If we cast our cares upon him and we strengthen our faith in him, we will be rooted like that strong tree. And the winds and storms of life, they're going to come and they're going to blow against us and they're going to shake us. But if our faith is strong, our roots will be deep and we will be sustained through the storms of life. That's the way David felt. Oh, he was being shaken tremendously. And he was barefoot and had his head covered, and he was crying as he was leaving the city. And he felt the knife in his back from his friend. He felt the betrayal, but he also knew that he had faith in God, and a God who could save, and a God who could sustain him. And you and I have the same opportunity to have that kind of faith and to have that kind of help from God as well. In verse 23, similar to verse 15, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. David would trust in God to take care of those who hurt him. And we've got to do the same thing. We've got to trust in God to right whatever wrongs need to be righted. Leave that up to God. And we simply do what God would have us to do and continue to show our faith in him. This psalm obviously has application to David's sorrow over the rebellion of his son and the treachery of his friend and counselor. But it also gives us a glimpse into what our Lord was feeling in his heart as he experienced the grief and the sorrow of Judas's treachery and betrayal. I believe every part of the psalm can be applied to what Jesus must have been experiencing as he was drawing near the cross. What can you and I do when we are facing a trial that we can't seem to overcome? What can we do when we feel that we have been betrayed? What can we do when we feel like we're powerless to watch a friend or a loved one suffer and there's nothing that we can do to help? The psalm gives us the answer. We learn from this psalm that God not only knows, but he cares about the grief and the sorrow that we feel. And what God wants is for us to cast our burden upon him so that he can sustain us through those kinds of times. We also learn that God does not allow us to escape the troubles of life. You know why you have so many people today who are addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs? Oh yeah, there are some people that they like the buzz, they like the high, they like the joy that comes from the use of the drugs. There are some people that like the taste of alcohol. I've never understood that. But there are some people who actually like the taste. But I'll tell you why people are addicted. So many people are addicted to alcohol and to drugs is because they don't want to face reality. It's their way of escape. So they don't have to deal with the struggles of life. The Christian has God on his side. The Christian has God to help him through these times of trouble. And you know what a person realizes when they come to recover from addiction? When they break that cycle, you know what they have to realize in order to do that? They have to realize that there is a higher power, they call him in the meetings, a higher power who helps them to live one day at a time. You know what? You and I already know that. You and I already have what we need to help us to deal with the troubles of life. So God isn't going to allow us to escape the troubles of life, but God has given us everything that we need to make it through those troubles. And finally, I would remind us as Christians that Jesus, who is our mediator and who is our advocate, personally suffered, personally experienced the kind of pain that comes with treachery and betrayal. And the way that he handled it is the best way to handle it. Peter talks about this again in 1 Peter at chapter 2. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That is, Jesus let God take care of it. Well, skip ahead to chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Jesus shows us how to handle these situations. Like David, we're to cast our cares upon the Lord and allow him to sustain us and help us through the storms of life. I've appreciated the study in 1 and 2 Samuel and in the Psalms that accompany the study that bring this to our attention in our class. And I'm glad to share this with an assembly like this, because I know that all of us need this kind of a study, that all of us face times in our lives in which we need to be reminded of how to weather the storms of life, because they come upon us. Sometimes they come out of nowhere, and they'll knock us off our feet. But we need to strengthen our faith. We need to cast our cares upon the Lord, and we need to allow Him to sustain us through these times of sorrow. Appreciate your kind attention as we've studied down through this psalm. Perhaps there's someone this afternoon who needs to become a child of God. Instead of being blown through life like a tumbleweed, you need to be rooted into the ground. You can do that by becoming a Christian, by confessing your faith in Christ, repenting of your sins, and letting us baptize you into Christ. You'll become a child of God. You'll enter into fellowship with God, and you'll begin to grow in your knowledge of His Word, which strengthens your faith and allows you to stand when the storms of life come. Because the storms of life don't go away because you become a Christian. But when you become a Christian, you have the strength and the help that you need to make it through. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian this afternoon. Maybe you've done that in the past and need to make things right in a public way. Maybe right now you're going through that storm and you need help and you need our prayers. Well, you're among friends and brethren, and we'd be honored to have the opportunity to pause and pray with you if you need it. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming and meeting me right here as together we stand and sing this song.